Turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, is known as the Song of David or David's Song of Thanksgiving. And we're going to read a section of this, not the whole thing. It's great. Read it in your devotion if you haven't read it in a while. It's David's Song of Thanksgiving, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to begin reading at verse 8. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we woke up with air in our lungs, a heart that beats, and a God that loves us. Thank you, Lord, that you've got our foot on the rock and our mind made up. We're going to finish the race that you've called us to run. It's time to seek the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David's Song of Thanksgiving, 1 Chronicles 16:8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servants, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And of course, we could put our name there. We've been grafted into the tree. We are his seed as well, and we are his children as well. So this is a psalm for us as well. Amen. Amen. He starts out asking us to give thanks to the Lord. That's not hard to do. To call upon his name, that's not hard to do. To make known his deeds among the people, that's testify. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. That's not hard to do. To sing to him, to sing psalms to him. That's what we've been doing this morning. To talk of his wondrous works. We love to do that, don't we? We read the Bible and say, oh man, here's what the Lord's going to do. Here's what the Lord has done. I got a record of what he's going to do because I know what he did yesterday. And he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Amen. Glory in his holy name. And let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. I tell you what. The solution for depression, discouragement, distraught is seeking the Lord. It will make your heart rejoice. Amen. Why is it so hard to seek the Lord? Because the devil knows that it will be the answer to your problem. Amen. So he makes you feel like, oh, I don't feel like reading the Bible right now. I don't feel like praying. I don't even think I'm going to church anymore. I'm tired. God knows I'm tired. And yet the Lord says that let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. We're going to take our text this morning from verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Hallelujah. Church, it's time to seek the Lord. Have you ever had anybody ask you what time it is? Next time someone asks you, hey buddy, you know what time it is? You say, yeah, it's time to seek the Lord. You know what? Every minute of every hour of every day, I know what time it is. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek him when I feel like seeking him. It's time to seek him when I don't feel like seeking him. It's time to seek him when it's convenient. It's time to seek him when it's not convenient. It's time to seek him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, when the sun goes down, when I lay my head on my pillow, if I wake up in the middle of church, it's time to seek the Lord. And when I look at the spiritual time clock, Israel, and I see what's going on in the Middle East, and I see what's coming in September, and we talked about that in Sunday school, even more so, I know it is time to seek the Lord. Amen? Tomorrow may be too late. Hallelujah. It's time to seek the Lord. Why is it time to seek the Lord? Well, I mentioned September. And knowing what's coming in September with the great sign, and as Eddie pointed out last Sunday in Sunday school, the people that have this astronomy software have went as far back and as far forward as they can, and they say, this has never and will never happen again. The alignment of the constellation Virgo with the nine stars and three planets and the moon at her feet and the sun on her shoulders and Jupiter in her womb. This has never and will never happen again. See, some people will say, well, I just don't know about that. Right? I'm telling you, church, it's time to seek the Lord. And if this September should be what it could be, the rapture of the church with the word caught up, we read in our reading this morning, Eddie had arranged for the passage where he said, I knew a man who was caught up. That's the only other place in the New Testament other than the rapture verse in Thessalonians and Revelation 12 where that word appears. And that word always means someone caught up, right? And God calls it a great sign. So I'm not going to belittle or belabor the prophecy side of it. The point is, if this is it, then this is why it's time to seek the Lord. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's just not convenient for me. Convenient has nothing to do with it. Look at your watch. Look at the Bible. Look at Israel. Church, it's time to seek the Lord. So our text says, seek the Lord. Now, some might say, well, why do I need to seek the Lord? Is he lost? No, but I am. I was lost and undone without God and His Son. I don't remember the rest of that old hymn. But I wasn't looking for Him. I was the lost puppy. I was the lost sheep. He found me. Amen. Have you ever watched a mother and her child in a department store? We don't really have department stores much anymore. We have Walmarts and Penny's. I guess we have Penny's. Sears and Muskogee's closed. Mother's looking at new blouses while little Tommy, 5-year-old Tommy, is touching everything and looking at everything and asking questions about everything. And mothers can do something that us men can't do. They can have one eye on the blouses and another eye on little Tommy. And Tommy can in 1 second get lost. 1 second. He can go from being in mom's view to over here. And when he loses sight of mama, there is a panic. Mom? But mother always knows where Tommy's at. Get. Have you ever noticed that the barrage of gets, you know, stop. Get back over here, Tommy. They're like a machine gun, right? Parents, mothers. Stop. Right? Mothers always know where Tommy's at because that's what mothers do. Mothers keep their eye. And aren't you glad that God keeps His eye on you? Our Heavenly Father knows where you're at at all times. And though you may lose your way, like little Tommy, the long arm of God's love will pull you back. And that's why we should seek the Lord. The second thing our text says is, seek the Lord and His strength. His strength. I'm weak. I need His strength. You know, some people try to put on airs like they're Joe Christian, super spiritual. If our text, the reading this morning, Paul said, you know, I have these infirmities. I want God to take them, but He won't. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, then I'll just go ahead and glory in my infirmities. Thank God I am a worrywart. Thank God I get fearful at times. Thank God I get anxious at times. Thank God I lose my temper at times. Why would you thank God for that? Because the grace of God piles upon my weaknesses. And here the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament says, I could act like a fool and boast about what I am, but let me tell you what I'm not. Amen? I'm not any of these things, but I am what I am by the grace of God. It is not my strength, it's His strength. I don't have any strength. I don't have any fortitude. I don't have any power. I don't have any stick-to-itiveness. I am a fickle sheep. I'm little Tommy, prone to lose my way, but God is my strength. And so that's why we seek Him. That's why we hunger for Him. That's why we cling to Him. That's why we get in the Word, because my only source of strength is the Lord. Church, it's time to seek the Lord. And the third thing he says, verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. All right? Seek His face evermore. Evermore means just ongoing. Okay, well, I sought the Lord. What does the pastor want me to do next week? No, it don't work that way. You never graduate from seeking the Lord. Amen? It is a life process. And if you're just coming to church and getting fed by the pastor, and your Bible sits on the counter from Sunday to Sunday, you need this message. Amen? Because it's time to seek the Lord. So what does it mean to seek His face? What does it mean to seek His face? You know, you really don't know anyone until you look in their face. Sometimes the mouth can say something and the eyes can say something else. If your wife looks at you like this and says, I love you, she might not be feeling it. The eyes can say things that the mouth can't, amen? And so we seek the face of the Lord. Many people seek the hand of the Lord. What is God going to give me? But when we seek His face, it's about relationship. It's pretty hard to kiss your wife without being nose to nose and face to face. Amen? And the Bible says we are to kiss the Son. Amen? To have a relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at someone's face, you see their eyes. I mentioned that. And the psalmist said in 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eyes. Some people say, I wish the Lord would give me a direction on how to do this. Well, how much time are you spending in the Word? How much time are you spending in prayer? How are you seeking His face? Because when you seek His face, He said, I will guide you with my eyes, right? And you know, if we press in and have a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis, decisions should never be hard. Amen? Because He's the decision maker. And when he leads me, He leads me with His eyes. You know that great old song, Farther Along, says, He will guide me with His eye, and I will follow till I die, and I'll understand it better by and by, right? And so that is the process. Seeking the face of God always results in seeing God's direction for my life. If you need God's direction for your life, quit asking God for direction and start seeking the face of God. Amen? Now, alternatively, if you don't do that, God will also direct you to where He wants you to go. Oh, well, then I don't need to seek the face of the Lord. Well, let me... James 3 tells us how He does it. He says, behold, we put a bit in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. Now, I've never had a bit in my mouth. I honestly don't know what it feels like. But I would kind of think it's a little painful, wouldn't you? So the choice is, I can seek the face of God and He can guide me with His eye, or I can ignore seeking the face of God. Well, I'm saved by grace, bless God. Don't make me have to read my Bible every day. Okay, don't. But when you're going through something painful next time, then it could be that God is putting a bit in your mouth and moving you where He wants to go because you were not seeking His face to see His eyes. That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Okay, so how do I seek the Lord? Number one, I seek Him with my whole heart. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord your God, you shall find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, my heart is the master passion of my life. It represents my job, my family, my hobbies. It's the thing that is my master passion in life. All the things that I love are found in my heart. And so, in order for me to seek God, I have to do it with a whole heart. I can't do it half-heartedly. Some people do things half-heartedly. Sometimes you can float by at your job and do it half-heartedly. You may not get that promotion. You may always have conflict. But you're doing enough just to not get fired. And some Christians do that. We do just enough not to have God fire me. Would God fire you? Well, we'll leave that one open, right? I know he can take ministries away from us if we are not faithful. Amen. Give it to someone else. You're faithful with a little, he'll make you ruler of a lot. Conversely, the talent, take what he has and give it to this guy, right? And so we have to do it wholeheartedly. It can't be a hobby. Seeking the Lord is a lifelong, wholehearted process. Number two, how do I seek the Lord with my whole heart? Number two, I seek the Lord with my whole heart by setting my heart, making up my mind. 1 Chronicles 22:19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. What does that mean? It means making up my mind. You know, we can have a great church service and people can say, wow, I needed to hear that. But unless you go through the mental process of saying, okay, I recognize I need to seek the Lord more. So what am I going to cut out to make time to seek the Lord? What priorities am I going to change? How am I going to change my schedule this week to spend more time with God? So the Chronicles verse, 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. Make up your mind. Put a mental process to it. Set it. Establish it, make a plan to seek the Lord. Whole heart, set my heart, number three. Why should I seek the Lord? Because there's consequences. 1 Chronicles 28:9, if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Wow. That's not my words, that's God's words. 1 Chronicles 28:9. We have a responsibility to seek the Lord. We didn't get saved just to warm a pew or a chair or whatever. We got saved to be intimately involved in what God is doing and that he could be intimately involved in me. And if we seek him, he will be found of me. But if I forsake him, he will cast me off forever. Can't say amen, say ouch. Number four, why should I seek the Lord? Because the door is closing. Psalm 32:6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great water they shall not come nigh to him. Now I think it's interesting that David used that term, in the time of great water, it won't come nigh to you. But he said everyone that's godly should pray at a time when he may be found. We know that the rapture of the church is likened to Noah's Ark. Noah was preaching, judgment is coming, day 2, day 5, day 50, day 100, day 1,000, I don't know how many, you know, right? All those years. But one day, it actually happened. And so there is this window of opportunity to seek the Lord, but the window does not stay, or the door, if you will, does not stay open forever. And in light of what may be coming in September, when the door of God's ark is shut, then this is the time to seek the Lord, because the door may be closing. Number five, because God said so. Psalm 27:8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, will I seek." Don't you love that instantaneous obedience of these patriarchs? Would to God that we could have the David and Abraham obedience, that as soon as God said do something, we did it. We didn't say, "Well, Lord, I ought to do that, but I've got to go here and I got to go there and I got to do it. And then later on, I'll get in the word. The preacher said, okay, Lord, I need. He's right. I need to read, but you know, I got to do this and that, and you know, the cows need milking. We don't have anybody milking cows here, I don't think, but there's always something. Nola's milking. She has." In the good old days, right? Or whatever you want to call those, right? Just leave it at that. The point is, there will always be time wasters. There will always be priorities that seem more important. And at some point, that going back to that set my heart, at some point I have to make up my mind the most important thing in my life is seeking the face of God. The most important thing in my life is seeking God's face. And David said, when the Lord said, "Seek my face," my heart said, "Lord, your face will I seek." He responded immediately. And it wasn't just a mental response. His heart leaped out of his chest. "Oh, yes, Lord, I'm going to seek your face." God, let us be like David, a man after God's own heart. So what are the obstacles? I said milking cows. That's probably nothing any of us are doing today, maybe in the past. What are some of the obstacles to seeking the Lord? Number one is the condition of my heart. The condition of my heart. Just stop for a minute and think about it. How is the condition of my heart hindering me from seeking the Lord? Hosea 10:12. "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you." You cannot expect a great garden by throwing seeds on crusty, hard ground. Nor can you expect to look and smell like Jesus with bitter, angry, unforgiving heart. You can't even begin to seek the Lord until you take care of your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and your heart is hard. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you have unforgiveness. Maybe you have jealousy or envy or strife. I've got good news for you. God wants to help you with this, but you have to break up the fallow ground. You've got to choose. If God's word is going to take root in my heart and I'm going to grow and be the Christian God wants me to be, I have to choose to forgive. I have to choose not to be angry or envious. I have to choose not to listen to gossip. I have to choose to put this stuff down and say, "I don't want to hear it." You know, sometimes listening to gossip is all it takes for a root of bitterness to come in my heart. And as a mature Christian, we should say, "I don't want to hear it." Amen? You know, at work, there's always someone wanting to tell me about somebody else. And there's somebody who's always talking about someone else. You know what I noticed about this one person is that they talk about everybody behind their back, so I know what they're doing when they're not talking to me. That's right. "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he come rain righteousness on you." What does it mean when God rains righteousness on me? You see, I know you guys are all perfect, but at times I get impatient with people. I get anxious. I'm tempted to get my feelings hurt. You know, I've got a lot of hang-ups. I've asked the Lord, why'd you call me in the ministry? There's probably guys a lot more spiritual than me. I got issues. And that's why I know that I need to seek the Lord, because when I seek the Lord, He rains righteousness on me. When I am seeking the Lord on an ongoing basis, I am more patient, I'm more loving, I'm more gentle, I'm more kind. And the minute I start feeling anxious or snap at someone or whatever, it's a direct thermostat that I am not letting God rain righteousness in my spirit, and I need to seek the Lord. That's the way it works. And you know what? It leaks out. Yesterday's manna won't feed me today. All of that righteousness that He's raining just is constantly falling out that carnal hole called the original sin. And my spirit is at war with my flesh, and my flesh is at war with my spirit. And so every day I have to seek the Lord. Every day. To get rid of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, and to have the mind of Christ, I have to break up the fallow ground. Because, church, it's time to seek the Lord. It really is. It's time to quit playing games. Jesus is coming very soon. So the condition of my heart is one thing that hinders me from seeking the Lord. The second one, of course, is just my sin. Hosea 14, 1 and 2, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say to Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calf of our lips. Isaiah the prophet said, my ear is not waxed hard that I cannot hear, neither is my arm short that I cannot say, but your sins have separated you from me. My sins will keep me from seeking the Lord. Have you ever, like, just, you know, really been doing great, just living for the Lord, seeking the Lord, and then something happens and you get sideways with someone or this, and immediately you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to, because this thing is there. But you don't want to deal with this thing. We've got to deal with it because it puts a wall between us and God. Amen. And so Hosea says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you've fallen by your iniquities. And then he says, Take with you words, and turn to the Lord and say to Him, take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously. You see, if little Tommy gets in the cookie jar and you say, Tommy, this poor Tommy kid's taking it this morning, isn't he? Tommy, I told you to stay out of the cookie jar. Why did you get in the cookie jar? And they always say, I don't know, right? Right? And then they say they're sorry. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Daddy. That's right. Sorry I got caught, right? Why are you sorry, Tommy? Why? See, that's a whole different thing. Because now Tommy has to think, what does she want me to say? Because I took a cookie? No. What? Because you told me not to? Yeah, you're a little closer. Because I was disobedient to your word? Right, right. So Hosea the prophet said to Israel, backslidden Israel, here's how you take care of this wall between you and God. Come with words. Articulate what you did. See, that's why David was known as a man after God. Here, David murdered and had all these extramarital relations, all these things. But he knew how to repent. He came to God with words. I have sinned against the Lord. I didn't sin against Uriah the Hittite when I killed him. I didn't sin against his wife when I took her as my wife. I sinned against the Lord. And we break God's heart when we sin. We bring reproach upon the name of the Lord when we sin. It's God's reputation. Mine's already screwed up, but His reputation. People say, oh, there goes that Christian again. Calls himself a Christian, and you know what I saw him doing last week? And so we have to bring words when we come to repent and tell God, articulate, God, I said I wouldn't do this. I did it. Here's why I did it. I went down the wrong way. You know what? I asked the Lord to give me a word this morning. This may be for another sermon, but I asked the Lord to give me a word this morning. I played Bible roulette. Has anybody ever played Bible roulette? You know, Bible roulette is where, you know, of course, nowadays you do it with on your tablet or your phone, but you can also flip through. And it was the passage where Jesus puts the spittle in the mud and the blind man's eyes. But it was the one verse just before that where it says he led the blind man out of town. Now, if I hadn't just focused on that one verse, I'd have read past it. But because it was Bible roulette, it's just that verse. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, people are so spiritually blind, but Jesus will never heal them until they let him take him out of their environment where all of their sinners are that keep them blind. Well, that's just a spiritual revelation, isn't it? Play Bible roulette more often, see what happens. And so I said all that to say that if sin is causing me to seek the Lord, you might even need to withdraw yourself from certain people you hang around and let Jesus lead you out of town. Number three, and this is often a big one, unable to forgive myself. Some people you talk to say, well, you don't know what I've done. I can't seek the Lord because, you know, you don't know what I've done, but God knows, and you know, he could never forgive me. You know, the tribulation is God's judgment on a Christ-rejecting world. Then we have to get past our feelings of unworthiness and get on the ark while we still can. Zephaniah 2:3, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. See, we've all wrought his judgment, haven't we? Don't tell me about that. I'm right there with you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't clean ourselves up and come to Jesus. We just come to him as we are. We all have wrought the judgment of God. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. This is the verse for this season, isn't it? This is God's word for you and me right now, living in 2017, on the brink of the rapture, on the brink of God's judgment. God's word to you and me is quit playing church and get in there and seek the Lord if you want to make the boat. It may be, even if you have done the most despicable thing, it may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Hallelujah. Come on up, Nola. Praise God. So the question is, what do you want out of life? What do I want? What does everybody want? You want happiness. I remember when I was a young man, you know, sometimes having problems, marital problems, when mom was alive and I'd go to mom. It wasn't mom's great. I was thinking the other day, man, I wish I had my mom's shoulder to cry on. You know, it's just something about a mother. You know, her son is just, she doesn't judge. She's just mom. She's there for you. And I remember my mom always saying, I just want you kids to be happy. You know, that's what a mom wants. That's what God wants. What do you want out of life? You want happiness. You want your needs met. Having a little extra money is always nice, right? Of course, we want to be healthy. All of that doesn't mean anything if you're not healthy, right? We want to be healthy. We want to have family. We want to have friends. We want to be able to laugh, have a good time, right? Well, Jesus told us how to get all that. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we don't seek happiness, we don't seek money, we don't seek all these things. We seek the Lord, knowing that one of the benefits of seeking the Lord is that all these things will be added unto me. Last week I talked about the three fools. This is really part two of that message, because those five foolish virgins had time to fill their vessel with oil by seeking the Lord, and they put it off. This message is not one of those that you can tuck away and go home and not be affected. If you wait until September or whenever that day may be, and you say, that was a good message, I need to do that, and it doesn't change you, you may be one of those five foolish virgins when the Lord comes who has an empty vessel. And I don't want your blood on my hands. It's time to seek the Lord. Time to put down the remote and seek the Lord. Time to rearrange your priorities and seek the Lord. Jesus is coming very soon. This is no game. It's time to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus called those five virgins foolish because they knew they were the virgins. They weren't the world. There wasn't five virgins and five harlots. It was half the church. Think about it. Half the church knew the Lord was coming. While the Lord tarried, the Lord's tarried for 2,000 years. You know, I don't really always, don't get real preachy to people that are lost sometimes. But I say things like, well, if the Lord tarries, you know what? That's a seed. What do you mean by that? The Lord doesn't come? I haven't thought of that since my grandma talked to me about the Lord coming back in 1978. You know? Sometimes we need to think about it. The Lord will come. Though He tarry, He will come. That day will come. And we can be the five wise virgins who have filled their vessel with the oil of God's Holy Spirit by reading and praying and forgiving and keeping our heart right with God and break up the fallow ground and seeking the Lord, making it a lifestyle where we can wait, take our chances. Sometimes I think people use grace for things that grace wasn't intended for. We are saved by grace. But it's pretty clear reading the Bible that God puts a prerequisite on the rapture. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm. We know the verses, right? I want to just take a minute to allow some prayer time. The altars are open if you want to come. You want to make an altar out of your chair. I'm going to let Nola sing a little. You better set your heart. You better make up your mind. You better rearrange your priorities. It's time to seek the Lord. Go ahead, Nola.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Father, this morning, we ask you to forgive us for our slothfulness, our lukewarmness, our wrong priorities, our misplaced priorities. I ask you to forgive us for mistaking the grace that saves us with our responsibility to seek the Lord, to be hot and not lukewarm. Lord, if there's anything in our lives hindering us from seeking you this morning, help us to take care of that. If there's anybody we need to apologize to and get right with God, you said leave your gift on the altar and go to that person. Lord, help us to take care of whatever we need to take care of. We're running out of time. And then, Lord, help us to set our heart to seek you, the due diligence to rearrange our priorities, maybe get up a little earlier, stay up a little later, whatever it is. Lord, we know we have responsibility, we have jobs, we have things we have to do, but we need to make time for you. So help us, Lord, to not just give this message lip service, but to remember we want to be hid in the day of your wrath. And the prerequisites for that is to have our vessel full of the oil of your Spirit. So help us, Lord, to remember that's what it's all about. It's time to seek the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Give someone a big hug before you go.